This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How your smartphone may help the world's most dangerous warlords.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Battelle. Every day, the people of Battelle apply science and technology to solving what matters most. More at battelle.org.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio, with the global perspective on business and economics. You've heard of blood diamonds or conflict diamonds, but how about conflict minerals? Raw materials like gold, tungsten, and tin, bought from mines under the control of militia groups. They end up in our smartphones and computers. Today, tech companies face a deadline. They're under pressure to make sure they're not enriching violent groups. BBC tech reporter Dave Lee joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So the Securities and Exchange Commission wants companies to audit their supply chains. What impact is this having?
Well, what it means is for the first time, these companies that until now have been able to mine these materials and use suppliers without really knowing who's in charge of the companies, they now have to look into their supply chain and work out whether they're actually funding militia groups and other violent groups.
Now, as you well know, the world's appetite for technology, it's only getting bigger. Is there enough of these important materials available from responsible sources in the world?
Well, this is the big question they have to answer. I think the approach they're taking is rather than just pull out of these areas. Now, one of the main areas is the Democratic Republic of Congo. And now, the simple answer would be to stop mining there. But the worry is that if they were to do that, the economy there would collapse so quickly that it would make the issue of violence and militia groups worse. So the solution is to just improve the conditions.
Okay, BBC tech reporter Dave Lee, thanks very much.
No problem.
Back before the housing crisis, beasts roamed American streets. They were called HELOCs, a.k.a. home equity lines of credit. Homeowners used them to borrow against the value of their homes on the belief home prices would keep rising. We know how that ended. The housing crash put HELOCs into hibernation. But now they're awake again and hungry. Marketplace's David Weinberg explains.
HELOCs aren't anywhere near as prevalent as they were pre-crisis, but they are up 8% in the first quarter over last year, in part because banks are marketing HELOCs to homeowners again in commercials like this one.
Hey, listen. AmeriCue Credit Union has home equity loans with no closing costs. Now's your chance to pay high-interest debt, tuition, home improvements, vacations, whatever.
Steve Cook is the editor of Real Estate Economy Watch. He says home prices are rebounding and the credit market is loosening. But inventories, they're still low.
So I think one of the things we're seeing right now is a lot of homeowners deciding to remodel because they can.
Andrew Pizer is a staff attorney at the National Consumer Law Center. He says after the financial crisis, the CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, changed regulation and disclosure rules for traditional mortgages, but not for HELOCs.
The CFPB said they're going to be working on that down the road, but they haven't gotten to it yet.
Pizer says that HELOCs aren't great for large, one-time purchases, but they can be a good option for establishing a long-term line of credit, as long as you understand the terms of the loan. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading, shares higher in Europe, Asian markets closed up, and 30%, that's the cut in carbon emissions the Obama administration wants power plants to make by 2030 in a new plan rolling out today. Record highs Friday on Wall Street, the S&P closed up 0.2% at 1923, the Dow gained 0.1% to close at 16,717.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Henry Luce Foundation, seeking to increase American understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. Education reporting on Marketplace is supported in part by the Kresge Foundation, working to expand opportunities in America's cities. More at Kresge.org.
A deal is set in suburban Atlanta to spend nearly $400 million in public money for a new stadium for the Braves. The baseball team is supposed to pay some of that back in rent, but it's still a hefty amount of taxpayer money going to a private business. Georgia Public Broadcasting's Adam Ragusea reports on how deals like this have a long history in the region.
You can feel it in this year's race for governor in Georgia. Here's the Republican incumbent's first TV ad.
Governor Nathan Deal lowered taxes on job creators. Now, for the first time in history, Georgia is the number one place to do business.
Or so says Site Selection magazine. Just in case they don't have that one in your dentist's waiting room, I'll tell you that the magazine praises Georgia for its generous incentives, like a 30% state tax credit for filmmakers, probably why Walking Dead is filmed here.
Atlanta sounds like a good deal.
Also, local governments spend millions on infrastructure to lure things like factories. James Cobb, a historian at the University of Georgia, says funneling taxes to private enterprise is an old habit in the South.
After the agricultural economy was pretty much rent asunder by the Civil War, the southern states began to provide incentives and sweeten the deals to attract outside capital that was supposedly going to bring the South back to prosperity by urbanization and industrialization.
Cobb says the freebies were meant as a temporary kickstart, but by the 1950s, northern governments started using the same tricks.
And then, in the last generation, the global labor market has become so competitive that it's been very hard to sort of ditch the subsidy approach.
That's despite the fact that handouts to businesses are incredibly unpopular with southern voters. That includes Cobb County, the Atlanta suburb that's trying to lure the Braves. Last week, opponents had to be dragged out of a public hearing on the stadium deal.
You're out of order, sir, for the third time.
Come on. The local politicians say any other community would bend over backwards to land such a big catch. But Professor Cobb says there comes a point when you become so business-friendly, there's no goodies left for everybody else.
You throw over so much in public expenditures and various things, including education, to keep taxes down, and you reach a point of it being self-defeating, I think it's fair to say.
Back in the 90s, Site Selection magazine was calling Mississippi the best place for business. Didn't exactly turn that state into an economic powerhouse. In Macon, Georgia, I'm Adam Ragusea for Marketplace.
You can find us anytime until the end of time at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Once upon a time, there was a city with a growing economy. And then,
everyone knows this is a ghost town, so our restaurant doesn't have to pay rent for 3 years. The government gave it to us for free.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Tall buildings, big stadiums, and the Chinese GDP next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.